You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Keith
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Breaking Bad After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Breaking Bad After Show.
All right, well, hello, and thank you for joining us, everybody. Bing is for doing, and we are doing another AfterBuzz After Show for Breaking Bad Season 5, Episode 4, entitled 51. I'm your host, John Comerford. I'm joined on the panel with our extra host, filmmaker, and co-founder of AfterBuzz TV, Maria Menounos.
Hello, everyone.
I'm also joined by another founder of AfterBuzz TV and filmmaker in his own right, Kevin Undergaro.
Hello, everyone.
And a documentarian.
Copy my line.
Kristen Snyder.
Hello.
And in the booth is executive producer Phil Svitek. He'll be joining
That's
us.
Me.
There he is. There he is. Good to hear from you, Phil. So, Kevin, before we get going, let's get to our first catch of the what was it called? Last catch. Sorry.
It's last week's catch.
Last week's catch.
We'll have a really nice drop for it at some point in time from Sir Richard Wentworth.
Anyway, tell us about last week's catch.
Well, can we tell you that we generally are missing things here and there? You know, as many of you know, we go up 10 minutes after the show, so we're a lot like you. We do our best. We don't have the luxury of... we don't even want the luxury of the days that other hosts have to prepare for this. That being said, we're missing certain things, and we're blessed to have so many amazing fans who are able to write to us and tell us these things, one being Michael August. And Mike sent me a lot of great misses from last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just something that you could digest. They may be on the money. They may be far-fetched, but I found them interesting enough.
How many are you going to give us?
Do you want me to really count them and wait?
Are you going
to
give us
Let's
all
just get
of
into
these?
Him. Let's just get into
I'm
him.
I'm going to get into him.
Okay.
Okay. So, let's see. The Gale quoted a poem when I heard that learned astronomer from Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass in, you know, season 3, episode 6. You remember the book, Walt Whitman, the book that he picks up? It was referenced before. It was also referenced in Bullet Points, which was season 4, episode 4, where Walt and Hank were discussing the case, and Hank was giving Walt some of the evidence to look over.
Uh-huh.
And he said, WW, geez, that could like be Walter White. Ha, 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 joke. And he's like, oh, no. And Walt said, no, it's Walter Whitman. It's a quote from a poem.
That was when he was in the bedroom.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. Three Blind Mice was playing in the background while Walt was talking to Jesse, and we were talking about all the different threes, right? We had the Three Stooges.
Right.
Well, the significance of the Three Blind Mice song, and again, going to Mike August, was that if you realize the song was about a group of Protestants who went against Queen Mary the First, and he feels that these mice are Walt, Jesse, and Mike, and that the queen who cuts off their tails will perhaps be Lydia, who Mike apparently did not kill.
Or Skyler.
Because... who Mike didn't kill because of the daughter, which is interesting because we see a lot of Lydia tonight, and this includes that I saw with Lydia tonight. But interesting, kudos, Mike, for you seeing this. If you're on the money, for you seeing this last week, I think is great. That Three Stooges short that we saw was called A Bird in the Head, and the gorilla's firing a machine gun, like Scarface, which supports Michael's statement that the gorilla represents Walt. And the gorilla shoots a scientist and the Stooges in the back. So, but I don't know if the scientist could, in fact, be Walt. So him and I debate on that. Still very interesting. There's a likely connection, he feels, between Scarface and Jesse James, both of whom were shot in the back. Plus,
interesting.
Another Scarface tidbit. When Tony Montana is asked, what is coming to him? He replies, the world, Chico, and everything in it. And he relates that, of course, to Walt. And especially Walt when he sees all that money on the table. And he feels he's entitled to all of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his growing greed. This one was real interesting. There's a red ball in the background when the meth fumes are passing over the kiddie pool.
Right.
Okay.
I remember that.
And when the owner of the house asks if they will get all the pests, the answer is something like, we'll kill everything, guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Mike feels that there's a definite subtext that, and this again is a spoiler, that please fill the drop for me, okay, because we get complaints from fans when we don't do this.
Alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler
10
alert!
10 seconds, we'll be right back.
Spoiler okay. alert!
So, he feels that there's subtext here that the family, or someone in that family next door, is in fact going to die. Hence leading to an investigation inside the house and into Vominos. And the eighth episode is titled Dead Freight.
Ooh.
And if the family does die, it may be Jesse's fault, as it was his idea for the tenting that is supposed to contain the smell fumes, etc. That could be the symbolism in him holding the red bag. Hmm. That's Michael's prediction. I just think it's pretty interesting, and that's last week's catch.
Catch. Thank you, Michael. All right, so that closes last week. New business this
new
week.
Business.
Skylar and Walco toe-to-toe in the bedroom. Hank gets a promotion. Lydia puts a GPS in the monkey work.
And who cares about all of that, John? Because it's the return of
Heisenberg.
Look at my applause.
Exactly. No. I mean, as soon as I saw the hat, I was like, yeah, there we go.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely, because that hat is so iconic now.
Bryan Cranston actually said after the show wraps, that's going to be the one thing he steals from wardrobe.
You know what? He can have it
yeah.
as long as I get that car.
The car.
He's been obsessed with this car for so long. I'm actually scared he will get it. He will get one.
And you know,
talking about the car.
By the way,
in Fern Green, if you know, as well.
Exactly.
By the way, clarify which car, because that's the crazier part.
He doesn't want the new car. Kevin wants the car that was in the garage.
You know what? No, Phil, this is killing me because I didn't think they were going to bring this back. I'd done all this research on the car weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then knowing that it wasn't, or last season, but knowing it wasn't going to, I thought it was done. It was totaled.
Right.
It's a Pontiac.
I thought it was a Traverse.
And it was an interesting kind of Pontiac because it was made for like camping and it was a real strange car. They didn't in fact make many of them, which is why when I went to eBay to buy one, there weren't many. But I'm grateful that I know it's Fern Green because you know when we get one, we're gonna paint it that
color.
And I'm saying to myself, we need to, Maria, you need to use your pull to find out who's got that car because we have to get it. But listen.
I'm on it.
But now that Walt turns it in,
yeah,
I don't know if I want it anymore.
Yes, because new business.
But he wants a Heisenberg car, and that's not the car that led to Heisenberg.
He's got a whole new power now. He's in charge. He's not in the old chemistry teacher car anymore.
When he picks up that hat.
He needs, you know.
When he picks up that hat, he knows. Yeah.
I liked, you had pointed out when we were watching, you were talking about how the car had 9 lives just like him.
Exactly.
Yes,
and what I was thinking when they were walking around the car and he was talking about all the things that happened, I wondered, did the car represent his health?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I think it's vanilla ice cream lifestyle and practicality. Yeah.
But also, like, what was fixed? I mean, think about, like, he had all the chemo and stuff. Mm-hmm. Remember in the fights, weren't his glasses a problem, but they were like, the windshield was fine. You know, we didn't have to...
Replace the windshield this time.
But last time, you had a thing.
Yeah,
right.
Windshield.
Yeah, I thought there was a connection to glasses.
Point, Maria.
So, but yeah, I think it represents well.
Thank you.
I'm totally seeing that. And what I said to you when we were watching it was, I feel like he did get his... no coincidence that these new cars are leases, but he did get his new lease on life.
Right.
And I think what the guy was saying to him is, like, this thing's got another 200,000 miles. Like, I think if he would now just resume the old Walter White life.
Yeah. Which it seems like he's trying when he's at home, but that's on that next topic.
No, he's absolutely not trying to. Uh-huh. But, I mean, resume it to go back to teaching chemistry, go back to his old lifestyle. I think what the guy was saying to him is, like, hey, you know what? You can live now. You can have a, and by him saying,
200,000
keep
miles,
it, man. Keep it and move on, I think it's like.
I don't want that life.
And I don't think he's going to have that life. And I don't think it's, you know, we all know it's not going to end well. But I'm thinking he could have gone. It's like if he had walked away right now from the drugs and everything else and tried to resume a normal lifestyle.
He could have lived a long life, 200,000 more miles.
Right.
Yeah, but it would have been a life about,
making sure you're under
your blue book and making sure your insurance takes this and all that kind of crap that he wants to walk away from.
Something I like that guy said, he said, nothing beats free. Yeah. And that goes back to episode one with the server that was trying to give him the free birthday.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what was the significance of Fern Green?
I don't know.
Fern green is a color of camouflage, right? Now he's not really camouflaging anymore. He's kind of just going for it.
Well, it's also, I mean, it's rather bland. There's not much. It's certainly not Fire Engine Red. What he's walking away from, I think. That's the only thing I gleaned from that. I'm sure we'll hear from maybe Michael August or a couple of our listeners.
Honey,
tell us what they think of Fern Green. What's the significance of the Fern Green color?
Well, I think it was... If you notice, it's not very bright green.
It's very bland.
So it was the fact that Maria said it's just being in the background. Yeah. Just that's all he was. He was
blending in.
He was just blending in. He wasn't really standing out. No. Nothing
outstanding.
But also,
it's kind of the color it's a more muted version of the chemistry green, right, that they use. So the chemist is like kind of going away, and now he's stepping into
muted
the power.
Muted version of money. I mean, green is just symbolizes so many things. But really, who cares? The car's gone.
New cars. That shot of them coming in, and then they're having so much fun. He looks over, and he's like, yeah, you need to be in a new car, too. Yeah. It was badass.
And dollying in to get the black, I think it's the Chrysler 300. Oh, yeah. You know, it's just an awesome car.
Yeah.
And then to get Junior, his Challenger back, but notice, no longer orange, now red.
I'm sure they were just out of the orange.
I really wanted Skylar to just pull in there and just ram Walt's car so she could get into her spot.
I mean, a great shot. So much show, don't tell him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just in comes the old Wagoneer. Just kind of chucks.
No room for her.
Yeah, there really
her
isn't.
Her being pushed out.
She doesn't really exist.
Totally ignored. Wait, where's my spot? No, hello?
But she's ignored all over this episode, just in general. Yeah. Until she forces.
You know, the other thing I just want to point out, this was Mike August was mentioning a lot of boxing references with, you know, Philadelphia and Mike
Rocky
wearing the...
he remembered from Philly and stuff.
Mike was wearing the Everlast.
Right.
Also just Challenger, which is, you know, being a challenger, a champion and a challenger, you know, so...
By the way, for me, what I liked was, you know, you guys talking about the back and forth, oh, Junior's got to have one. He's literally trying to buy Junior back from Hank.
Well, yeah, you know, we saw that throughout the whole episode. I especially like the this isn't really Heisenberg, but the scene right after when they're talking about cars and really
having so much fun,
teasing about doing the donuts, teaching him
exactly.
And to Maria, what you were saying, Skylar is dead,
totally ignored.
She's just sitting there, and if you notice, the interior of the house now is so dark.
Yeah,
it's a morgue. It's a funeral home now.
Pools of light everywhere.
It just gets dark and
dotted with light.
Mm-hmm.
She's dressed. You know, totally in black, and is like I said, is gone.
Yeah,
that's Skylar.
Yeah, that's Skylar. Well, because another one is taking her place, which we're going to get to soon.
Yes,
not just yet. But since we're talking about the Heisenberg thing, what do we think about the significance of him at the end with the hat and the thread? They made a specific point of showing us when Mike says. When they're having the argument, Mike and Jesse, you know, Mike wants to kill Lydia, and Jesse's saying, whoa, 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 and they're having that little argument. They want to take it to a vote, and they make that significance of showing Walt notice that thread on his hat. You guys got anything for that?
Didn't matter what they were talking about. He has his plan, and he just isn't concerned with them.
He's just concerned with
this little fiber on his hat. It doesn't matter what else is going on.
Right. I think
I'm
going to
look something up because behind him was a poster that said there were the flies,
and one of them was
a black soldier fly. That was the one that was visible. I know there was a bee, what looked like a bee to the left, but it wasn't because I read the tag, but it was cut off. But a black soldier fly. Let's check it out. It's a common widespread fly.
Oh, you have it that quick. I forget you're an iPhone person.
Yeah.
But soldier fly, you know, Maria, is probably the fact that, you know, you have soldiers in battle. You have soldiers in the mafia. Jesse's a soldier. Like that.
Larvae are sold as feeders for owners of fish or composting grubs.
Keep talking out loud. That's
good. Let's see.
Yeah. Any other thoughts?
No, nothing interesting. But anyway, I thought there has to be something about.
Well, if the other interesting thing is the correlation between that and notice on the barrel.
Mm-hmm. There was that.
Right.
What was fly the or bee was an or insect or some kind of insect?
Yeah, I mean, the flies could be significant in the fact that all these other things are just little gnats that
buzzing
are just
around.
Annoyances. Mm-hmm. Right. You
but
know.
In terms of the Heisenberg, going back to that, you not only got his hat. Which is certainly emblematic of who Heisenberg is, but he also got another thing, which was the watch.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, you know, talking about getting paid. He's got the car. He's got the watch. He's really starting
The watch meant so much.
The watch, huge.
The only birthday gift he really got, because you didn't see Hank give the gift, but I know he had it on his lap in the car.
Yeah.
But he got a gift from his son.
His son, exactly. Right. And it was watch. And I don't know if you noticed it, but in the scene immediately following when... as Skyler takes a dive, so to speak, when when he's in that, when Walt and Mike are in the dining area and they're talking to each other, and that is really prominent that Mike has this nice watch on. And
great pickup.
There, the entire
which
time.
Scene?
When, right after Skyler does her, she's in the pool.
Yeah.
And when we come back from that, Walt and Mike Hank are talking, and Hank's going, has this ever happened? Well, really prominently showed in the scene is Hank's got his big old watch on, his big old manly watch on. And I thought, you know, because that whole and if you, prior to that, when they were talking in the birthday scene, when they're outside on the veranda, so to speak, by the pool, when Walter Jr., he says, happy birthday, Dad. Oh, and good promotion, Uncle Hank. So it's still that play between the
two
of them.
Right.
And even though he has his birthday, Hank outdoes him by getting a promotion on the same day.
Right.
So that watch has more significance there, because...
And it's all about time, too.
And it had red... The second hand was red.
Thing.
Yep.
Time taken out on that. So I thought that... So.
And it was interesting that Jesse had said to him, you know, the receipt's in the box. If you want to exchange
mean?
It. I think we can look into the subtext of that, but I think it was just a writer's tool just in case a guy like Walt, who might not know the value of a watch like that, you know, maybe he's a nerd and he doesn't know that like this watch is worth 50 grand or 100 grand. But now we know when he went home or whatever, he was able to see that receipt. So he in fact knows
that he
got the pimp gift, you know.
And a watch like that for a guy is really significant anyway.
Right.
Yeah, so that's big. So... It's like getting a Jedi sword or something.
But I loved his focus. Nothing's, you know,
nothing stops this train.
This train. And nothing's stopping time, and nothing is stopping it.
Well, there might be one thing stopping it.
Well, hold on. One quick note. Yeah. In terms of the last time, there was a whole episode dedicated to flies, you know, and the Walt's word for it was contamination. It's contamination. So...
Oh, right.
You remember
great
that episode,
point,
John.
I do remember it.
So I just want to bring that up, that, you know what, there could be a contamination somewhere.
Lydia.
And,
Lydia.
Yes.
Our next subject.
Oh, and before we go any further, I want to thank people who are coming to AfterBuzz TV and clicking on that Amazon banner to make their purchases, because that really helps us here.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who don't know, we have a banner, a little button here at the AfterBuzz TV website. Anytime you need to make a website purchase, please come here first, come to AfterBuzz TV first, click on the Amazon banner. That'll take you right to Amazon. You can make your purchases. It won't cost you anything except maybe an extra 2 seconds. And for your trouble, AfterBuzz TV will get a nice little thank you from Amazon on TV to keep our lights on.
So we can keep cooking.
So we can keep cooking our meth.
Keep
bringing you this content.
Yeah, Skater Boy actually asked a question. He was kind of confused if we just get a portion of all the sales, even from private sellers. And I think he just didn't realize if you just have to click on the link that's on the AfterBuzz website before you go to Amazon.
Just click
and we
on
do
the
get
link.
A portion of those.
So, for instance, when I want to buy Kevin's...
His new car. His
new car. I don't think Amazon sells cars.
No, we'll have to make a deal with eBay.
Okay. I want to buy Kevin a new razor for his birthday instead of going to Amazon.com.
No, because you are like Skylar, and that's what I would get.
I'm going to go to AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm going to click on the link, and I'm going to buy it through there so that AfterBuzz can keep on running.
It's amazing.
Perhaps if you would like to buy someone my book, honey, you should go to AfterBuzz.
You know how many times I've done that? That's why I think on New York Times bestseller list.
Oh,
there you go.
Thanks, honey.
All right. So the only thing that looks like it's trying to slow down the train is Lydia. We were going to go to Hank first. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, we can talk about Lydia.
You know, no, let's talk about Hank.
Okay. Let's go to Hank. Because
by the way, Dean Norris lost some weight. You notice it?
Yeah. Did he?
I didn't notice that.
I think he has lost weight.
Okay.
I want to find out.
All right.
Because either it's that or the stuff is fitting him baggier, but I think I think he's lost some weight.
Well, it's because since we talk about the rise in Heisenberg, we can talk about the rise in Hank, because he got back. He's back in action. Not only did he get back in action, but he got a promotion.
And by the way, Mike August, you know, sent me this just recently, within like the last few minutes, but the limp is gone.
So yeah, it was a little bit of a limp.
Slight, but...
Yeah.
He's healed.
A little bit of a limp. We saw it when we were in the factory.
Also,
all those feet going by.
I'm noticing less joking.
Right.
Remember how much how he used to joke so much at the job?
Yeah.
He's focused. I mean, look at that web he built on the wall. I mean, it's impressive that he's made so many connections. Even though they said this is a really tough case, Gomez was like, this is a tough one. They've made so much progress. They've got Mike's name and picture up on the wall. They had everybody associated with. But what I loved is, and what my question to you guys the entire time I was watching this was, you know, he took the promotion. First of all, he thought he thought they were getting rid of him.
He
was like, what's going on here?
I didn't get that
at all.
He
mentioned El Paso.
But I wonder, what did you guys think about him taking the promotion, and now does this take him away from the case? And was that the intention? Is there something going on? I mean, these guys were connected to Gus, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And not that they don't want to get him, but maybe he, you know, cops are always embedded somehow with dirty people sometimes. Not always. Yeah. I shouldn't say it like that. But
no, but Gus was.
Think about, we know the guys back in Boston, mob connected with cops.
No, and also and Gus was.
Allegedly.
Gus was always at police events.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I
so
mean,
maybe
I did not think so, but I don't rule it out.
That wasn't my take on it. First of all, I didn't think that Hank thought he was getting fired. Why would they fire him? The guy figured everything. He was right all along, and everybody else was
but
wrong.
But sometimes people hate it when you're right, and they were wrong, and they didn't figure it out.
I didn't.
Jealousy.
I know, but I didn't buy it. I didn't see that from Hank. I think he was like he was concerned about where they were going with this, because that's all I saw. I didn't see him thinking,
what was
he going to get fired about. Well, like, why wouldn't anybody? I think anybody would be concerned if you send somebody out of the room. Well, what's going on?
Right.
He be thinking? Like you said, if he was bulletproof, then what would he?
You're never bulletproof in anything that you're doing. But I didn't think for a second he would think he would get fired. Because why? What would there be a reason to fire him for? Mm. I just didn't think that. The other thing was that. What was the other point that you made? Or you were saying that I didn't think he was.
Does it take him away from the case?
Oh, yeah, that part.
I know
think
he's in charge.
I don't think
they
were taking him away from the case. I don't think that. But remember, they fired the guy. Who else are they going to put? Why not? I mean, the guy who knew everything and who had it all figured out. You promote him. You look smart because you promoted the guy that had it all figured out.
It felt organic. It felt like.
Honestly, I think it had nothing to do with that. I think it was the writers pushing him to the side a little bit so we can play with the Skyler. Walt storyline before he, because you know Hank's going to come back.
And also, yeah, absolutely.
He's not going to be satisfied sitting in a desk.
Makes it more interesting, too, to turn, you know, you want to turn the heat up. So, so now you put more on Hank because he's going to be in this administrative position.
Yeah.
But he's going to be pining for his.
Right. And he's not going to be satisfied with getting, because he's a guy that likes to sink his teeth in something and not let go.
But also, that could be part of the problem. He's been so close and so in it that maybe now when he takes a step back,
that's
he'll see
good.
What's been right
that's
under
great.
His nose.
That could be very good.
I agree
good.
With that.
Could be very
yeah.
Good.
And I just think that he definitely took it for Murray. He said, I have to take this position or my wife will kill me. Mm-hmm. He knew he had to.
And she would.
Exactly, but I don't think
he told her.
Right. I don't think he wants to be out of the field, though. I mean, he's motivated by being right. His job is what makes him happy. Not Marie, not his family. It's being right and the success in his job. And being behind a desk is not going to give him what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think he'll be back out in the field before too long, but stepping back
we
is
know
exactly
he
what
it's
he
inevitable.
Needs to do.
It's inevitable.
I liked his,
right.
Did you like his, what do they call those, case boards, whatever?
Oh, I loved it. And then
the red lines.
Then they shot through it. They had like a plexiglass version. They shot through that. Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you guys notice that Gomez like never backs Hank's instincts, and his instincts are always going in the right direction?
He's definitely like the dumb cop versus the smart cop, especially with Lydia.
Right. Yeah.
He's like, I don't know, you know. Yeah. She's
but how about Hank just noticing? Nobody else noticed the shoes.
Yeah, he's getting sharper and sharper.
And I know he wasn't as certainly not as quippy, but I loved all his language. What do you call her, Lady Banjo Eyes, or whatever he called her, and then the Burgermeister.
The
Burgermeister. He still had all the names, and
still
I love that. I love this.
But
language.
He notices the mismatched shoes.
Yeah.
So you've got like the complete like dueling things. You've got him noticing something so sharp and so amazing, but then he's in the car with Marie. Yeah. And he's like, I was 10 steps ahead of you.
Yeah.
I knew that's what the second cell phone was for. Sorry, honey. That's what Walt's been up to.
Yeah.
And she's like, it wasn't Walt that, you know, the infidelity.
And that's his Achilles heel.
Right.
He thinks he is ahead. I mean, he thinks he does know everything.
And so
that can't see the thing right in front of his face.
My favorite part about that scene was I had final confirmation that Hank has no clue what Walt is doing.
No.
Because up until now, he gives you those shades when he's acting. You're like, does he kind of know? Maybe he does. Maybe he's kind of on this trail. Yep. No. No clue.
He doesn't
know.
Yeah.
I love that.
Because he's Fern Green and blends right
mm-hmm.
in. But now he's not going to be, so it'll probably be easier to see, especially because you said he has perspective now.
Just thinking about talking the cinematography on this, which is so simple, but so
simple?
Effective.
Nothing simple about it. It's genius.
But it's simple, Maria, and you should know better in terms of where are your cranes, where you. I'm saying it's simple. It's like they're just locking down the camera, just the shot through the windshield of Hank and Maria driving.
Yeah, that was nice.
They didn't have to go that far. Yeah. They're clearly
and they had
statement.
Two different angles, two different lenses on it, right. too. That was interesting.
Nothing's accidental on this show.
No. Wonderful.
So,
So Lydia, let's get to her now.
So Hank okay, just comic relief, which I know our fans just hate because they all just want the analysis.
Yeah.
Every time I see Lydia, Maria, I just, all you guys got to do is, oh, Phil, you know what? Throw a web camera, next dinner party Maria throws at the house, stream it on AfterBuzz TV. We'll put a camera up, and you can see like 20 Lydias.
He needs a Heisenberg.
He's lucky he didn't say anything about me.
No,
you're not Lydia.
You're not Lydia. But come on, how many Lydias?
Just the neurotic.
Are you friends with? Oh my God! It's just we're in power and in business and completely neurotic.
But
and
the best is like they're like flashing by John. John and I both like kind of at the same time. We're like, wait, what did that plaque say? It's like yeah. excellence and leadership in business.
Outstanding leadership.
Okay,
and then she's there going.
But wait.
Out.
It's funny and this, that, and the other thing. But it means something, you guys.
Sure.
Right.
It means something. Like that she's going to have a significant role here.
Yeah.
Also, Houston, Texas.
Yep.
And then later on, when she's trying to shut the power off, on the screensaver is a flag of Texas. Mm-hmm. Something, there's more to it. It's not as simple as you think. You know, there's more to her.
Yeah.
As we're going to find out.
Well, she had two names. So there, I bet you the two names mean something. She was probably married to someone really, really important, or her original maiden name was really important. Mm-hmm. To have the two last names.
Or she killed him.
And maybe that's why.
What we're going to miss out on, unfortunately, is, and you know, like other like Supreme fans and geeks are going to get, is what was being said in German.
Yeah, that's the thing we don't have.
In the background, you know, in those conversations. Yeah. I'm sure there's going to be a lot there.
It was not important. You know why? A, because we wouldn't know if it was important. B, you could tell she wasn't even paying attention. She was just on a conference call. I've been on them before.
It wasn't important to her, Maria, but subtext and symbolism,
no,
I'm sure it was.
But my point is like, I'm on those conference calls sometimes, and I've seen other people be in, like, morning meeting conference calls, and you're not really paying attention. You're doing your thing, and then you just spit something out and pretend like you're paying attention, and you're, like,
oh, I get that, Maria, but the
I think that's what she was doing.
But absolutely, but Vince Gilligan, in writing, there's clues there to what is going on.
We need someone from Germany watching After Buzz right
believe
now.
Believe me,
we have fans, and they'll tell
we
us.
We actually do have fans of Germany.
Sure, we'll have it.
But you know, notice the production design.
Yeah.
And I was thinking how, you know, when we flew Lufthansa to Greece, a German airline.
Yeah.
And the difference between American airline overseas and even the British airlines overseas, you know, it's pretty festive. Uh-huh. You know, lots of movies and cocktails, and they have bars and
crisps.
And.
When three of them on a plate, and you're like, wow, you're so generous.
When you think of
three
Lufthansa, it was just same thing, very sterile, very clean, and
structured.
That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
But no frills.
And boring.
And that office, same thing.
Yep.
Was very gray, lots of gray and glass and steel, and you know, German company.
Exactly. And so I love that, but you know, in stark contrast, when we get to the warehouse...
Oh.
It was just, I mean, even though everything was ordered.
Yeah, your yellows, your reds,
your
blues,
all over. It's very interesting.
The colors were used
and to. I love that shot. You see it, you know, I didn't, the first time, I didn't even really get the shoe thing. I was like, why is she looking at her shoes? I didn't even see it because the shot was so, but then as they were, I just thought that was great as they were walking through the factory, warehouse, excuse me, just her heels and then all the men.
Yeah. Just shows shoes that are.
Yeah, it was just a great shot.
There.
But what I thought was interesting is why she lied. You know, I didn't guess. Why is she lying to Mike when she says they came barging in here screaming and swearing at me? I didn't get it. I was like, what's she playing?
See, I didn't notice that because.
That's the first thing she says to Mike.
To me, I thought she was just because she's so freaked out. That's her perception.
Could be, but I was like, where did they didn't do
that? Well, now you know why. But you know why.
Yeah, because she was trying to.
But was she? Because to me. When I see this, I saw her look. When she looked up and she saw it, she got all confused, and then she flashed a light on, and she looked at it again, and she had a heart attack.
So you don't think she planted it?
I actually believe her.
Okay.
I do.
And Jesse.
Yes, I believe her.
So you think somebody else did that?
I think so. Just from her reaction, I think that she could have played it a different way, and she could have been like looking over to, what's that kind of thing? Mm-hmm. And she didn't. She looked up and she was like, what the hell? And had a legit heart attack. To me, I bought it.
Okay, Kevin?
Phil?
You know, I'm thinking no, because I think she's a neurotic person, but also a master manipulator. Yeah. And I do trust Mike. However, we can't keep making Jesse out to be the dunce in this, because he's not.
No.
And he could be, I could see him being correct in saying, no, it's wrong. It's not. Right. It's not. You know. Let's give her the benefit of the doubt. Right. So I don't know. I'm 50-50.
Phil, what was your idea?
I'm gonna go with this. I trust Mike, and the mistake that I think everyone's making is that they're not. I return back to season three. You know, Mike has done already one half measure.
I know.
Letting her stay alive. He already even says, like, that's what I get for being nice to her, whatever he says.
It's being sexist.
Sexist, yes. And he should have killed her that time.
But what was the reason why he should have killed her the first time?
Because she sent people to kill his crew.
His guys.
Kill list.
Oh, that's right.
She
and began, like, got them all turning on each other. Yeah. I mean, she created a nightmare. Yeah. Just, like, all
I
your friends.
Remember.
And you agree with Maria, then, Kristen?
You know what? I think the point about Jesse, you know, even Mike kind of put him down. So I feel like he has a point there. And Mike's been looking for a reason to go back and get Lydia. So this is exactly what he was looking for.
I'm trying to figure out, if it wasn't Lydia, who else would do something? I don't buy for a second that it was cops or any DEA, or I don't think they would.
It seems like something she would do.
So not that way. They have much better equipment than that.
And it seems
for me, it was the fact that he said, this is sloppy even by cops standard, Mike says.
Yeah, that makes me nervous.
That's why I buy it. And the fact that you guys are even arguing that Lydia could have done this or couldn't, she's
a manipulator.
Which
is what I love, because we hardly know anything about her. All we know is that she's kind of a nutcase for the most part. So, which is great, because then we're doing this. Did she? Didn't she? Because I could almost believe your argument that she's just nuts. But I more than anything, I would just believe that she's manipulative.
Yeah, and I think it's a half measure. Yeah. Meaning she should have been. Yeah. She should be killed. But then again,
see, and I think there's a reason that they didn't kill her, because it would be so easy for him,
Maria?
For Mike and them. Like for now, it's like it's so much easier. Mike's going to go there and kill her, and then what?
Yeah.
I don't think.
But this is here's the thing. She won that award, you know, outstanding leadership in business.
That's
And clearly, at least in our eyes, what we've seen of her, she's not really a leader, but she's manipulative enough to get people to think she may be. Because we're even having this argument.
Right.
Well, and you can tell in the previews for next week that she manipulates more time out of them.
Exactly. Because
she's like, I know where you can go get more
of this.
Here's
the thing is it feels like it's a half measure in not killing her.
Yeah.
But would... Is killing her going to save Mike or save Walt or the business? I mean, I kind of feel like Walt will... I think it's going to be Mike's demise for not killing her.
But was Walt's final words to not kill her? Is that what he meant by what he said?
All he said was, like Kristen was saying, he's obsessing about the thread.
The train won't stop.
He didn't say anything.
I could care less.
But
Jesse
does.
We need to keep
cooking
and making money.
Yeah,
Jesse says at the end when he goes to the car, he's like, that was a good thing that you did, I think. Like, he said something.
I think Jesse believes that what he said was, Jesse, in his mind,
that
Jesse
he backed him up.
That he backed him up and then, okay, we're not going to kill her. Because Jesse just wants to stop killing people.
Yeah.
He just wants to.
But also, Mike, I think less than having an excuse for going to get her, because I don't think he was really thinking like every day, like, how do I get Lydia? Yeah. I think he was thinking more of, you know, I kind of sense with Mike that he's kind of tired of all of this.
Right.
He's only in it because he wants to get some money for the baby, for his granddaughter.
And to make it right with his guys.
Yeah. I kind of don't think he really wants to be doing this. I think he's doing it, you know, half-heartedly.
And so
that's why he's like, if we have to slow down, we slow down. But
right.
Only somebody.
But more than anything, he doesn't want to have to deal with this nutcase.
She's a really bad loose
liability.
End. She almost killed all his guys. She just needs to die, move on.
Yeah.
And he's not as emotional. He's real good at this, you guys. So he'll wait. We'll wait. We're going to go down for another 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
And then
we'll find another way.
We'll make our money.
There's always a way.
He's not as emotional, whereas Walt.
Well, to Mike's credit, you know, when he's on the phone with Lydia and she's like, you know, they took the guy, and Mike's just like, I'll get another guy.
Exactly.
And the other guy shows up, and it's great that it is Jesse.
Yeah, that's terrific.
Mike is definitely, though, fairly sure of the price that he's going to end up paying.
Going to Kevin's point, which I think, yeah, I think he's the one that's going to end up paying the price
right.
because he didn't do what he should have done.
And I think he's going to get factored out of this equation.
So
I think so,
he's
too.
The one that's going to get factored out. And it was interesting. Like, he's such a great actor. But
Jonathan Banks?
Did you see Jonathan Banks' reaction when... Jesse physically stopped him.
Yeah.
He just was like, are you kidding me, dude? You really?
Yeah, and he doesn't say step aside. He doesn't say get out of my way. He says get away from me.
move away from me.
Which I thought was great.
Which I was, go ahead, sorry.
Kind of insults Jesse and Jesse's intelligence like Walt used to.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, what I liked, I don't know why I was thinking this, but when he said, move away from me, I was thinking, wow, you know, you see that on a script. It just says move away from me. You choose how you want to say it, right?
Yep.
Kind of cool that he made that choice, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought it was a really good choice. I don't know. Not that important, but.
Since we're talking about it, let's continue about the Walt, Mike, and Jesse triumvirate that they had there when they were having the whole discussion. How about that? Jesse really
Mr.
pleading.
White.
Like crazy. Yeah, Mr. White. Mr. White, come to my defense. Help me out here.
We're back
buddy.
To Mr. White.
Yeah, exactly. All that.
I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah.
Still I love Jesse. I mean, I know this show is supposed to be about Walt, but he's like the heart of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, he's still its conscience. But what's, he's the only
exactly.
one with one.
But that's what's amazing is with Jesse, you know, you still sympathize and love him, whereas Walt, every day, I have less understanding for and less like more anger. Uh-huh. I mean, he touches Skyler and I'm like, ew, I want to puke. You know, whereas before he was a bit of a sympathetic character.
Well, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
We sympathized with him.
Right. Well, of course, because we went from a guy who's totally wonderful human, a lot of humanity, a lot of, and we're just slowly taking, I mean, and that's the way it's always been designed.
Yeah.
We're going to take him from, was it Mr. Chips, whatever, down to Scarface.
Right.
That's it. So, yeah, each week. You're going to have a harder and harder time relating to him because he's getting worse and worse.
Wait, can we talk about him?
Make sure to bring that up because she says to Skyler says to Hank or Walt rather, hey, don't try to tell me about your rationale.
Yeah,
so make sure
your
to bring that up.
Bullshit rationale. Can we go into Walt next?
Yeah, but first we've got to talk about iTunes. Kevin,
oh yes,
you had a really good take on this.
For iTunes, you know, just please keep going and rating and commenting on us at iTunes. It really helps us with the network. And I just want to give some shout-outs to some of the people that have. Secret 6, Robbie Boy 1227, and Snooki 17, thank you for our reprieve. We appreciate it. We're going to continue to try to get better. And to Christian Rowan, we take your comments to heart. As far as that interview goes with Stu, one of the producers, it wasn't just technical difficulties. He literally couldn't hear us, and we couldn't hear him. And then we turned into three stooges in here. Everyone tried to scramble and get to the one working mic. We were prepared for the interviews. We had several questions we weren't able to ask him. We will continue to try to do better in the future. And then also, please check out our interview with him at the end of last season. Yeah. We had him in studio, completely separate of everything, and we really got into some great stuff. So check it out if you have a chance. The other thing is about the plugs, like this one. The reason we don't do them at the beginning is then people would just fast-forward over them, and then it couldn't be a plug. And
plus, we got to talk about the show first. Plugs later.
Yeah, we're also excited to come in and
just like
and
I'm excited.
So anyway,
Walt.
but we thank you and we thank everyone else and we ask that you continue to come to iTunes and to rate and comment. It really helps. And Kristen, anyone on YouTube?
Yes, we have Red Jack Rose, WFB86, Deb00, Noel Angelina Smitterin, DK White, Super Hot Nanny, Skater Boy, Eric N, and Caps Fan. And Super Hot Nanny said something interesting. She said Walt isn't coming off as scary as he's supposed to be.
Wow.
What do you guys think?
There's no pleasing people.
Can we go into Walt? Because I have some thoughts.
We'll go
into her comment.
We're going to skip right over Sky?
We'll go to Skylar after. I'm so much more excited to talk about Walt right now.
Which is why we should leave it for last.
This is why when someone says something like that, the biggest thing I notice in this episode about Walt is that when he is at home, he has made it so eerily comfortable and so eerily normal, even though it's so not normal. Like, he's back hanging with, you know, Walt Jr. and chatting and like, oh, na-na-na-na, and like his birthday and I want chocolate cake and honey, I just want to keep moving forward and all these things. And I'm like, it's as if he is not making meth. It is as if he didn't just murder all these people and isn't responsible for all these deaths.
Oh, gangster.
No, Kev, it is eerie. It is eerie. His behavior is so Jekyll and Hyde like never before. I don't know if you guys felt that.
What was her name?
Hot nanny.
Hot nanny.
Super hot nanny.
Not eerie enough for her. But
I don't know what you have planned for my birthday.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't have shit planned for your birthday, actually. Actually.
But, you know, okay, Kevin.
I'm raising my hand.
Yes, please, Kevin.
Maria.
Here it comes.
This is the guy that the wife was...
Just a year ago.
A year ago. You know, that he was lucky he got a hand job for his birthday while she was bidding on items on eBay.
That was his life.
And
that was his life.
Now, and from his perspective...
All he's asking for now is a chocolate cake.
Wait a second. It's all about... How many times do I have to say this to us in our business life? It's about people's perspective. Mm-hmm. So what's Walt's perspective? Is that his genius in chemistry, in his brain, was stolen by his two partners who went on to become gazillionaires. He ends up with a handicapped kid. For all we know, that handicapped kid could be from the radiation exposure, the chemical exposure he had earlier in his life. And then, of course, now he's got cancer. He's got a crap job. He's working at a car wash, getting crapped on by... I mean, if you go back to all of that, he went from that to taking down one of the most powerful drug lords in the world, saving his family and having them come out with much, much money, and single-handedly doing all this, winning this giant chess game. And if you see, like, he just wants to have a drink and celebrate with somebody, and really nobody's there for him other than we're seeing Jesse. So he's like, I think I'd like to have a party. And you know what? She's got two rotisserie chickens that she bought from an Albertsons or a Ralph's.
Yeah,
and so
amazing.
I'm saying, from his perspective...
And then the microwave sound.
Yeah.
Ding!
Yeah.
And I'm like...
So from his perspective, he just put all he wanted. And again, I notice in my relationship, everyone, is that when I have these like victories in my like stupid world, my Skylar here is just like, yeah, whatever, really?
You're going to pay for that.
So...
No, whoa!
Let's not have it.
Hold the phone. Hold the phone, Mister. I never want to celebrate anything because there's no victories. I need more. I need no.
All right, let's not dive this. Okay.
I'm the one who's like, let's stop and smell the roses.
It was a good one.
Please return at once. Our systems detect that a host has wandered off the subject. Please return at once.
Doesn't get used enough.
Yeah, exactly.
just like Tribeca. Oh, remember, John? Yeah. We are premiering our film at Tribeca.
Thank you.
That's great.
Courtney lost her passport. We have to go.
Enough. We move forward.
So,
talk about Hank.
To your point about Mike.
Walt.
He's so good at compartmentalizing. He doesn't put all that together. What he's put together, and this speaks to the part I hear about perspective. He saved his family.
That's right. And
they
against
were
who,
kill
John?
Oh, they were going to kill everybody. Now, I agree that he's eerie and sick.
And against
weird.
Who? It's one thing against the neighbor across the street with a gun. He took down. He took on a fucking army.
Oh yeah.
You just said the F.
Had to get my point across.
Yeah, we have something.
So
foul language detected. Foul language.
And never was there any kind of appreciation. But instead of appreciation, he got fear and resentment from his wife.
Right.
Now, I agree. From her perspective, why would I give you any kind of... You put us in that place.
Right.
So you... I mean... Yeah, so I understand that. But again, from the perspectives, I get... Yeah, the other...
No, he wanted
just
the,
love when she was... When
he wanted
she
the,
was,
the gangster wife who, you know, who would stand behind him. He didn't want... It's funny. If you go back to Godfather, which I felt this was huge parallel
like
to Godfather.
Yeah, absolutely. You think you're taking my children away from him?
Kay was the same kind of wife as Skyler to Pacino and was like, I'm taking the children with me. And he's like, you would take... You're taking my children. You know that could never happen.
Could never
happen.
But
P.S., this is all perspective, just like you said earlier, because his perspective is that he took the danger away, and her perspective is, I thought you were the danger,
he said,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
So
you're questioning where the hell Walt's mind is with this, and I'm telling you, that's where his mind is at. But more importantly, the correlation to, you know, we've had the Scarface one, and well, this is clearly Godfather.
Clearly Godfather.
In Godfather, it's I'm taking the children away.
That it's not a reality. It can never be a reality. Yeah, yeah. That's what Michael Corleone says.
And Walt basically says the same thing. That yeah, could never, you have exactly. never taking my children right. from me.
Bryan Cranston said something very interesting about his transformation. He was talking about how even like the meekest person could become dangerous given yeah. the right circumstances. And he's like, if I said, let me punch you $50 right now, you'd be like, no, no, why would you want to do that? And then, like, everyone has a money ticker. So how about $50,000? And then maybe you'd start asking questions like, well, when would I get the money?
Where
and
should details. I hit you?
Like, where are you going to hit me? He's like, it just escalates, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not just the money. It's what money does. And he said it affects you physically and it affects you emotionally. To have a pocket full of money for the first time in his life, well, it feels just powerful. Watch. And it just kind of mm-hmm. spun out of control from there.
Like speaking to your point about danger, everybody always thinks if I'm in that position, it'll be different when I'm running it.
Yep.
Yeah.
They always think that.
And that's what he's saying to her. He's pleading with her. I'm in charge. And she's like...
And yet there's something that happens that you get seduced by the whole thing. And how are you going to be different as a drug lord than the next guy or the previous guy?
I want to know when they were sitting by the pool... What was he doing by saying his whole speech? Well, what was that all about?
His reflection.
I honestly thought that part of it was completely genuine. He did feel that they had helped him because it had been a rough year. He had gone through cancer and that they had said something. They had kept him going. I think that was that part of the part
I don't know.
For me, it was that they're still trying to keep him in touch with that small sliver of humanity he still has. That's what I think it was.
I think he was making it believable because of that, because he has those small pieces that are true, that he did feel, and then it's kind of he can just fabricate an entire story off of those few real pieces.
But
that's
also,
why it's so believable.
But also, he's got Hank, who was just promoted to like run the DEA, right? Don't you think there was something in that speech where he was just reminding him about all the struggles, making sure that anything that could be leading Hank to Walt, you know, it's like, oh, these struggles, and Skyler, don't you remember? But also manipulating Skyler back into his arms a little bit, right?
Well, I thought that
it
part
was all
better.
To me, it's all one Skyler, big manipulation right. of everyone at that table. Remember me? I was the victim. Remember me? The victim, the victim, the victim. And you all helped me, and I'm so appreciative. And
Skyler was there for me. My head in Skylar's lap, you know, and all I wanted to do was stop and shoot, you know.
She was just there with the towels.
And I was sleeping on the cool floor.
Yeah, that part I thought was totally manipulative, trying to win Skylar, but I didn't buy it. I still don't think he was trying to manipulate Hank to say, look, I was a poor victim, poor me. Don't look at me as the drug lord. I don't think there's.
No.
I don't think he has any fear that Hank even thinks of him as a drug lord or as even Heisberg. So I don't see that
part.
I only saw the manipulation with Skyler at the end.
I agree. I think that's when he went off, and then she was just like, I am with a sociopath.
Yeah.
You know, that he's able to wear this totally different face when he's really a killer. And that's obviously, you know, we've got the
so who I think Skyler going in the pool wasn't completely reaction. I think she was at some point.
I think she
lost it, and I think the little precursor of the dental floss around the finger.
With the hideous nail. Did you see that nail?
I didn't.
She saw the nail.
It was like pointed and like horrible cuticles. It just showed what a mess she was. It was brilliant.
I didn't even notice that.
Yes, because most women have pretty manicured fingers for the most part.
But by the way, this is the genius of show don't tell. You got all that from
a nail.
Little close up of the floss being tightened on her finger.
I am a mess.
That is just...
I don't know. Speaking to that, whenever he walks in after everyone leaves, he says, I know you're awake.
Yeah.
And then she kind of does wake up from the craziness. So I'm like, maybe she was an great actress.
But she didn't have to show us, the viewer, that she was in a trance. She could have, again, the same thing with Lydia. Mm-hmm. Lydia showed me as an audience member that, like, she was really genuinely horrified. She didn't need to show me that. She just needed to show Jesse that.
And when he asked her, he said, what was that out there? And she didn't say it because she didn't finish the sentence, but it was like, don't you, that was real. I mean, but she didn't finish the sentence.
But she had premeditated so many things that I see why you're saying that.
Yeah.
But like I said, she would show us. I don't think you have to show us.
Yeah.
What she showed us.
There's a mix
going
on there. I mean, she's definitely disturbed at this point. Anybody would be in her situation.
Yeah,
but was she trying to commit suicide?
No. And Hank pointed that out.
We
were all
there. Suicide. Yeah, but because that's a really horrible attempt.
Right.
But it was certainly a cry for help. I don't know what else to do. And
that's what it was.
And symbolically, She's in over her head. It's all, you know, she's drowning and all that. I mean, all those kinds of mm-hmm. things are
going
there.
Into the blue pool, which is the meth.
With the blue skirt just and rising up skirt. Over her head.
I mean, there's
the
so much. Yeah. You know, some of our fans like our talk of color, others don't. But it was all over this. I actually tracked everybody's change of outfits and the arcs of it. But definitely going into the blue, which is
the ice.
And the sun wearing the blue. He's in the red when they're, you know, because the danger is when they go to pick up the car. And then after that, once he gets his new car, it's the blue, which to me, and I think it was either Mike August or Steve Steamer who said that more than likely it's his step toward Walt's business, which is the blue method, and over to Walt's side. And that is what, you know, is why she just would walk into that cold water. And,
did you guys notice her smile? Her evil smile underwater. She was holding her breath, and then suddenly she just got this weird.
Was it evil smile, or was it sick?
I didn't see the smile.
I don't know. It was.
I just saw Walt coming down to get her.
It didn't look like it looked like a smile.
Lady Macbeth.
And I don't know if
they're holding their breath.
Oh, that's interesting. So you, Lady Macbeth.
Well, yeah, I mentioned that last week where she's walking around the halls, like, you know, and she says she has blood on her hands this week, so I mean,
she's gonna
a
bring
Lady
him
Macbeth
down.
Thing going on.
We'll talk about in predictions again. This, some more stuff came in from fans, some interesting theories about that. But Marie's line when she was underwater, you hear her say, she's going to come up. She has to.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know. So
she
at some point.
And how about that scene in the bedroom, though? I mean, going at it. I mean,
toe to toe.
Yeah,
and, think about the boxing. That's again, they were toe to toe.
And him, he just keep pushing her. It's like, what's your plan? Because now he thinks he's the king of the plans, and that's it. That's the best you got.
Oh, by the way, and you know what? She's a formidable opponent because we saw her take down the car wash guy. Mm-hmm. We saw her manhandle Ted.
Yeah,
but it just shows you, like, okay, now you. Going against Walt.
Yeah.
However.
What do we got?
However, this is someone who is in a moment of being broken and shattered because she is terrified for her kids, and she now has blood on her hands and she never did before, right?
Right.
Okay, so the second she comes out of this dark cloud and she starts to use her brain a little bit, I am more scared of her than I am of Walt because I think at the end of the day, she's going to be the one that takes him down.
Well, especially because now she's really fearing for her children.
Yeah, because remember with the nail salons, that nope, can't do this, can't do that, and she figured out how to get the car wash for what she wanted. She she set that guy up.
Yeah,
everything.
Or is she going to come around like Jesse did?
She could.
No, but that's what they're setting up, but I don't believe so.
No, she's going to. She may fake it.
She'll fake it. The whole thing, she said, look, I can't keep you out of this. I have to keep laundering your money. I can't even keep you out of my bed. She's doing all the things that she says that she has to do, but there's one thing that she won't do. So her break point is that she's not going to put those kids in jeopardy.
But here's the thing that disturbed me, right? Is she asked him in this episode, wait, you're back to cooking? She didn't know. And she was already disturbed. Mm-hmm. Now she knows he's cooking, and she yells at him in that scene, and she's like, she says, you know, and now you're back at it with our business. She called it our business, right? I thought that was really, really important. And, and where does it end was my question is, you want to get rid of the kids so you guys can keep at your business. Yeah. Where does this end in your mind?
But why? She said it in, again later. She said, our business can't affect our kids.
Exactly, but I don't understand.
Where does it end?
Where does it end? Because if you are wanting to protect your children, you should be thinking about how to get out of this, not continue this. And so, to me, the better plan, if she really wanted to get out of the business, is just escape with Holly and, you know, Walt Jr., he's an adult. He'll handle it and figure it out.
Leave behind your son.
Well, there's got to be something that she could do.
Did everyone love her?
But I like that she just didn't have she didn't have it all figured out yet.
But I think
that she will. But that's what's amazing.
I know. That's why I think it's going to be
great.
She's going to be underestimated as his opponent, and she's going to get
him. He's already underestimating her.
He kind of helped her, though, too, like narrow out what's not going to work. So he's helping her move past.
But he was trying to take away all her options. Like, no matter what you come up with, I've got it already figured out.
But he was scary.
Yeah, he was very scary.
I don't want him to lose to her. I'm really getting in a growing, just a shrinking minority that just wants Walt to win.
You want him to win.
Yes, just
and
anyway.
Then she's like, I want to wait for your cancer to come back.
That was a great line. And she looked at him like, how do you not know this?
Oh my!
You have everything else figured out, but you didn't get that?
But that was like the dumbest line ever. He's in remission, like, I mean, you're really grasping because you're grasping at straws. What if his cancer doesn't come back? It's not like
I would say that maybe
if I knew his cancer was back, if I was Skyler.
She's out of options and that she said.
No, you're not out of options.
But that's what
Trust me, I watch MSNBC.
Again, perspective, because where she is right then.
Her perspective.
Yeah, and he was just pulling out everything that she came up with. He already had it all figured out. So she was just, well, then I don't think I have. Because the other thing is, I thought she was going to say, I'm waiting for you to die, because everybody dies in that business. I mean, Gus, we never thought Gus was going to die. And that guy, so it's only a matter of time for a guy like that doing what he does before he's killed.
And by the way, was Gus a cancer and is Lydia a cancer? I'm waiting for your cancer to come back.
Oh, interesting.
You know, or the people from Germany.
Sure.
You know,
that's
so.
A good point. But also, I don't know that she will kill him, but I think
she's going to make the moves.
She'll make it. Somebody else do it. She's not going to do it dirty.
You don't know.
You're right.
She could. I mean, there's a lot.
She was pushing her very far.
Yeah, but she will set up a few calls, make something happen, orchestrate something like she did with the car wash.
I don't know that she needs anybody else.
He's definitely messing with the wrong person.
I don't know.
Because he does.
She will be responsible ultimately.
He's not aware of how good she is. He didn't get to see her with Ted and her handle the IRS agents.
Good point.
He doesn't know.
That's what I'm saying. She's being underestimated right now.
Yeah, that's
don't mess
it's
with
like,
the
you
bear
dumb
with
wife.
Cubs.
Just go back to cooking me my chicken from Ralph's.
Did you guys love her smoking her cigarette and the cigarette butts going in the 51 cup?
His birthday gift.
His birthday gift from Hank and Marie.
There's going to be some more money coming in.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, she didn't care. I mean... and what about him shaving his head?
Yeah, nice.
That was a beautiful shot.
Right after that scene, your cancer's going to come back. And there he is. Shaving the head.
And half with the shaving cream.
Just
half
the cream, the blood. Line
down the head. You didn't see the pores. It was something. Just great.
Yeah.
Great cinematography. So
powerful. It was a great episode.
And then next week's is even better.
No, we can't wait.
We'll get to that next.
Eating his Cheerios.
Yeah, again, alone.
alone.
Oh, and then he's like, "I'll be. Don't worry, I'll be right there." And then just goes back to.
He's finishing.
Because I'm in charge now. They'll wait for me.
Yep.
Exactly.
So. All right. Well, that should take us to our commercial break. So, Phil, if you'd be so kind, please take us.
We'll come back. We have amazing news.
Oh, that's
awesome,
right?
Gossip
and predictions.
Huge stuff.
Hey there, good buddies. The handle's Wooly Bear. I'm a truck driving man, but I'm not that old school kind of truck driving man. No, I like to listen to podcasts while I'm driving through these great United States of ours. And my favorite podcasts in the world are from AfterBuzz TV. And why? Because AfterBuzz TV is like a post-game wrap-up show for all your favorite TV shows, like Jersey Shore, Dancing with the Stars, Mad Men, and a whole truckload more. I like listening to my Gossip Girl podcast, catching up with all my fellow fans and getting all the latest news and gossip. You know, I got some strong opinions. And AfterBuzz TV lets me share those opinions with thousands of other listeners. Woo-wee! What a feeling! I used to doze off on those lonely stretches of road. And don't worry, I got the cruise control. But now I'm wide awake and listening to all the AfterBuzz TV goodness. Check them out. Give them a holler. And tell them the old Wooly Bear sent you.
Richard Wentworth and his... I'm sorry, Sir Richard Wentworth and his Wooly Bear. Thank you, Sir Richard. All right, so news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, so last week we talked about the spinoff with Bob Odenkirk with Saw, and someone said to Vince that Vince actually confirmed there wasn't much truth to it, but that he's hoping that it would become true. But actually, he wants to do a Western as his next project in Albuquerque. He said that he sees Breaking Bad as a Western in some senses, and he wants to just do a film after this.
This is Vince
that wants to do a Western for his next project.
You know, it would be amazing, except that Deadwood's been done. And I feel like he would do another Deadwood, which I'd be happy to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. And
but he wants to do it as a film, not as a TV
show. He wants to do it as a film.
Oh, great. So, even better.
Yeah.
Yeah, so not a show. He said, pull out all the stops, Western.
And you know it'll be fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, the cinematography, you have so much to look forward to
And I think the reality of the gangsterism that went on back then, it was completely lawless.
Yeah, Billy the Kid, one of the most famous Western outlaws, his stomping grounds were New Mexico. So there's a lot to do in that area. Also, We have Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul. We're talking about where they got their motivations for their acting. And for Aaron Paul, he said the meth issue hits home for him because he had a girlfriend who was an addict. So he kind of went through that with her, and that brings back full circle with the Jane story. And Bryan Cranston said he actually gets his anger for the show because his parents were, when he thinks about the divorce, and he said, "I have anger issues," he told Rolling Stone. "There was alcohol abuse and there were broken lives. There were two broken people. It was ugly. I didn't see my father for 10 years. So wow. He thinks about that every time he needs to get angry in the show. So it's very interesting. And I think you have something, Maria.
Yeah, I got the July 20th issue of The Hollywood Reporter. You can see here some of the cast members. Walt, Skyler, and Jesse are on the cover with the creator, Vince Gilligan. And a couple little tidbits that I really liked. As I posed to you earlier, what did Breaking Bad mean? You guys didn't really know officially, but I will tell you that Breaking Bad is a Southern colloquialism, that's the hardest word in the world for me to say, that means raising hell, right? And then the other thing that I thought was interesting is when they were pitching this show, Breaking Bad, to the different networks, my favorite is that Vince actually admits this in the article, because, you know, when you're in Hollywood, it's hard to be honest about things because relationships are everything, and, you know, you don't want to badmouth anyone per se because you might be doing business with them the next day. But he talks about pitching this to HBO, and he said they wouldn't even grace us with a no. They were like, "Just get out of the office, please." They were so horrified by this show. They were like, "Get out." And I thought that was kind of interesting. I mean, this article is really in-depth and great. So if you're a Breaking Bad fan, which if you're watching this, we know you are, you should check it out. It's pretty cool. Also gives you some teasers for season 5. But they don't like to see the next script because they don't want to know. They all want to kind of guess along with us, which is cool.
And stay in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Interesting to hear what HBO has to say about it now.
Well, also, I know that. I also think, what network had Weeds?
Showtime.
Showtime passed on it because they had a similar show at the time, they thought, because of the pot.
Because of Weeds, yeah.
Yeah, but don't you think it would have lived really well on that network, too?
It's a totally different show.
That's where just these guys overthink stuff.
Yeah, I know. It's like, oh, well, we already have one that has drugs in it, so we don't need that. Well, completely different show.
And the other thing that I thought was cool was, remember the crazy box cutter episode?
Yeah.
They had said that they battled AMC really, really hard to keep 3 more seconds of the brutal death scene. because they wanted the audience to feel something on a visceral level. And Vince says, "I want moments of showmanship, moments that take your breath away." Well, Vince, you took our breath away. That's
there
for sure.
Go.
For sure.
But I did kind of feel sad that, you know, some of the other cast members weren't on the cover.
Who would have you liked to see?
I'm like, how do you pick? It's kind of hard. So, anyway, that's it.
All right.
And that's your Breaking Bad news and gossip.
I got one.
Whoa.
Gotta support Bryan Cranston in Total Recall.
Oh, that's right.
Bryan Cranston in Total Recall.
Did you go and see it?
I did not see it.
Which I will say, so shush with the whole "I gotta support." I'm just kidding. The other thing that Bryan Cranston says in this is how exhausted he is. But when you get to this place, he goes, "I'm more tired than I've ever been, but when the material is this good, you don't even think about it." So he's pretty tired because of Total Recall. He's done 5 films, I think.
Drive. He was amazing in that.
Exactly. So.
Okay.
All right. Now
we're done.
That news and gossip. Thank you very much. AfterBuzz TV.
Then let's get right into predictions.
Before we get into predictions, you know, just real quickly, just going over the changes in wardrobe, just something to think about. You know, Marie continues to be in the purple.
Yeah.
Hank went from black,
yeah,
which I'm seeing is, I'm calling funeral black. I'm seeing that as like to death. Then he was into a light yellow, with, you know, on the kind of the Hawaiian shirt. Skyler went from black to taupe to a very pale yellow with the blue skirt when she went into the pool.
Was white with the blue skirt.
I thought it was a pale. I'm not pale, but okay. I'm saying like a tan. It was. I don't feel it was a white.
It was white. Okay.
Was it white?
I thought it was white.
Okay.
White shirt.
And then it went, and then it was, I couldn't tell if it was black, it was yellow, you know, she had like a yellow night jacket. I don't know if it was black or purple. I couldn't see what, maybe it was the screening room. At the end it was black and blue. So, and with Walt, it was red, black, white, and then a white and tan when he had the black hat. So it's interesting to see that, you know, we know Gus was all yellow. I think Mike August is right that the blue is the meth, and it's the, you know, so when we see that, we know we're working, we're in that phase.
In that world.
So it's interesting because it definitely all means something.
Yeah, clearly that's
why bad. Marie's in purple all the time. I don't know.
Don't know yet.
I don't know.
And now your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Anybody got one off the bat?
Lydia does not get killed.
At least not next week.
She does not die.
But Todd might. Todd?
Oh.
Well, interesting that Todd is back, and it looks like they're going to put Todd to work.
Yeah, he's not. He will. He may eventually, but he certainly won't next week.
He'll be a good masochist for them.
Well, but Mike said the whole thing about there's the people who get caught and the people who leave witnesses behind. And then it showed Walt standing over top of Todd with a shovel in his hand.
No, he's putting him to work.
Okay. Maybe just made it look like that, maybe.
That's why.
Right. What do you guys think about Walter Jr. and his red car? Do you think a car crash is coming up? Do you think they would do that, go that route, or no?
Maybe. I mean, he was talking about speeding, and they do need something to distract them from.
And it's yet another bad decision to give a kid like
and
that.
And Walt would feel responsible. And
a very powerful car. It's not about horsepower. It's about torque. It's about
all these things.
It's actually a great call.
And it's about the driver. Remember?
Yeah, it's about the driver.
You're right. Yeah. Good one.
Good catch. You know, for me, I thought it was one of the more revealing. Usually these previews are kind of cryptic.
Yeah.
And this was very revealing. Yeah. We see Lydia in blue, which is the meth blue we're working, put out the big map and say, you forget getting one barrel. We're going to get, I mean, it seems like she's going to bring it to that crazy level.
Yeah.
And remember, like...
all because she doesn't want to give any barrels from work.
And it all is going to reinforce... We've seen all the ads of Walt with the stacks and stacks of money, right?
Yeah,
it's like he's completely powerful. And right now, if you notice, Walt just cleared, I don't know, after all the money was chopped up.
Yeah.
He didn't clear much money. But for her to be able to get an unlimited supply of meth, and then the fact that...
Precursor,
right? And the fact that Mike is losing power, it seems like. I think we're going to see Walt come into some serious corner.
Yeah.
Walt hasn't met Lydia, right? He hasn't met her yet.
So next week he will.
It'll be interesting to see how that goes. I don't know what he's going to think of her.
Here's a big prediction that came from some of the fans.
All right.
Is that Skylar's only thing that she can do is at some point to tell Hank. And maybe that's why at birthday 52, Walt is alone.
Oh.
Who knows if he's just a total fugitive.
Tell Hank. Betray him.
And ready for the big giant shootout like Scarface.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't have those kind of weapons unless you're doing a last hurrah.
Yeah. All right. Phil, did you get a prediction or anything? Anything you want to add to that?
I don't get to see the previews. That's the one thing I don't get to see.
You don't need the previews.
And the fact that he said in that first episode, the guns won't be leaving the state, and does he mean he's not going to be leaving either? Is he going out in a giant blaze of glory, either against the police
or
whoever else? So just interesting.
I'd like to see that battle.
I can't wait for next episode.
I'd like to see another 16 episodes on top of this.
Yeah. You know what I think? Vince Gilligan was talking about the Western. Maybe it'll just be, you know...
Breaking Bad, the Western?
Hank versus
Make
Walt.
Make my day.
There you go.
And the Western. Okay. So you're really... Maria's rubbing off on you.
All right. Sorry. Before this degrades any further, we're going to say our goodbyes.
Thank you guys for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in. On behalf of Phil Speed Tech, Kristen Snyder, Kevin Undergaro, and Maria Menounos, I'm John Comerford saying thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.